At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Welcome to Next on the Tee with Chris Mascaro, where tour players, legends, and the top instructors in the game share their stories, insights, and playing lessons. Join Chris every week as he talks with the greats of the game.
You are the smartest guy I've spoken to on radio or television in my career.
And Chris, again, you're knocking out of the park. You're like 8 under par in this interview.
By having any research, I'm hiring your tail to be the research, man. You're the best.
You're a fantastic host and tremendously respected in the golf community.
Yeah, Chris, you do an amazing job, and your listeners are super lucky to have you, and it's always my pleasure.
Chris Mascaro is the king of the golf podcast. Don't miss him on Tuesdays.
Now, here's your host, Chris Mascaro.
Hello, folks, and thank you for coming back and joining me this week on Next on the Tee. I'm your host, Chris Mascaro, and I sure hope your week is off to a great start. This week, you can imagine, we're going to be talking an awful lot about last weekend's PGA Championship. We saw a lot of birdies over the course of those few days. Guys draining 40, 50, 60-foot birdie putts with regularity. And congratulations to Xander Schauffele on a tremendous win. He gets that best player to have never won a major title off his back now. And kudos to Bryson DeChambeau for his tremendous play as well, and continuing to show us that not only has he transformed his body, he's becoming one of the really likable guys out there. I love the way he called out the guy who grabbed a golf ball that Bryson tried to toss to a young fan, got that ball back for the kid, and the classy gesture he made walking down to the green to congratulate Xander after Bryson had been waiting to see if maybe there's going to be a playoff warming up out there on the driving range, comes down and shakes Xander's hand. I thought that was an incredibly classy move. And at a time when we have so many negative things that people want to talk about happening around the pro level and around the PGA Tour, we really needed this PGA Championship. The Free Scotty stuff aside, and look, the horrible, tragic loss of life that surrounded that. Prayers up for the family who tragically lost a loved one early Friday morning. What a horrible scene that was. But inside the ropes, I think what we saw was just great golf. I know there were a lot of birdies. I know the scores were really low, so I get all of that. But I still think it was tremendous golf. Guys had to make birdies, and we got to go out there and see a whole bunch of them, and guys making clutch birdies, namely Xander Schauffele on the 72nd hole to win his first major. How great was that? So kudos again to Xander Schauffele. All right, this week's show, I've got a great lineup that I can't wait to share with all of you. In part one of the show, we're going to kick it off with a long overdue return from Tom Patry. I'll certainly get his thoughts on the tournament and the performances of Xander, Bryson, Tiger, Scotty, and Victor Hovland, who we got to see come back, right? We were waiting to see what was going on with him because his game was struggling. Well, he went back to his original coach, and the next thing you know, he's right back up at the top of a leaderboard in a major championship. So we'll talk about all of that. We'll also talk about Jimmy Dunn and Mark Flaherty resigning from the PGA Tour Policy Board. So looking forward to getting TP's insights. He'll join me here in just a few minutes. Following him, I'll get a return visit from Champions Tour Pro and Legends Tour Pro, Clark Dennis. Clark is one of the really great guys out there playing on the Champions Tour here in the States and the Legends Tour over in Europe. Got to spend some time with him when he was here for the Champions Tour event at TPC Sugarloaf and the Mitsubishi Electric Classic. We'll talk about that time and the time we spent there and his good play leading up into that tournament. But we'll also talk about the really great players and the wonderful venues that they play over on the Legends Tour in Europe and in that part of the world. Excited to have Clark back as part of the show. He'll join me about 25 minutes from now. Then in part two of the show, one of the all-time great ball strikers and a guy who has battled so many things, so many severe health issues, and now has an even bigger one that he is battling against. Tim Simpson will join me, and we're certainly going to talk about all of those things, plus get some other insights from Tim as well. Looking forward to having him back as part of the show. And then we'll round things out with a visit from Tim Gastel. Tim is a former sergeant in the 82nd Airborne in the U.S. Army. He was injured by a roadside bomb when he was deployed to Iraq. When he returned from deployment, he took up the game of golf, and he says the game saved his life. You'll hear his amazing story when he joins me in the second segment of part two of this week's show. So a lot on tap for you this week, folks. And as always, thank you so much for tuning in and taking the journey with me again this week. Okay, before we get started, though, I want to remind you about our friends over at Kickpoint. Our resident director of instruction, Tom Patry, and I have been working with a company called Kickpoint. And they have done some magical things with our logos and created some polo shirts with some wonderful designs where they take our logos and turn them into designs on a polo shirt. They're absolutely outstanding. Kickpoint Golf is a private label custom golf apparel company making bespoke polo shirts, quarter zips, and hoodies for those selected clubs looking to take their branded game to a whole new level. If you want to check out their apparel, and again, it's going to knock your socks off, send an email to info@kickpointgolf.com. They'll get right back to you. There's no middleman. They're going to go right to the guys that do this work. You're going to check it out, and you are really going to love what they do. I'm going to start showing the polo shirts that they designed for me on my Instagram, @CTMascaro. Check them out there so you can get a sample of what they look like. These guys know where it's at. Now let's talk about golf getaways and buddies trip locations. When you're thinking about that, think about our friends over at the Macklemore, which is a wonderful resort located just south of Chattanooga, Tennessee, high atop Lookout Mountain. It is a casual two-hour drive from Atlanta, Nashville, and Birmingham. The existing Highlands course is now ranked in the top 100 courses you can play in the U.S. by Golf Digest. The 18th hole is ranked in the top 10 finishing holes in the world. A second course, The Keep, is under construction and will open summer of 2024. The Keep is a Bill Bergen, Reese Jones design and features a mile and a half of dramatic cliff edge, with every inch of that edge filled up with a golf hole. A world-class hotel, Cloudland Lookout Mountain Curio Collection by Hilton, will open spring of 2024. Both have incredible views into historic Macklemore Cove, 1,200 feet below. You got to see it to believe it, folks. Stay, dine, and play golf above the clouds at Macklemore. Go online to macklemore.com to book your stay and play package. Now let's talk about the new P790 irons from TaylorMade. From the very beginning, P790 irons have been rooted in clean aesthetics and thoughtful design. However, their true beauty is found beneath the surface. With AI-optimized weighting and speed foam air on the inside, every iron is uniquely designed to perform exactly how you need it to. As striking as they are on the outside, their true beauty lies within. Learn more about the new P790 irons from TaylorMade by checking out their website at TaylorMadeGolf.com. Okay, finally back is our resident director of instruction, Tom Patrick. You can find Tom down at Twin Eagles Club in Naples, Florida. He is a 13-time Golf Magazine Top 100 teacher, a 4-time PGA Teacher of the Year, 3-time Golf Digest Best in the State, including this year. And I couldn't be more excited. It feels like it's been 100 years since Tom Patry has been a part of the show. TP, how are you, my friend?
Busy boy.
Oh, how I've missed that. Tom, before we get into the PGA Championship and all the news of the last few weeks, you've been out there playing in a tournament that I am eager to hear how it went. Give us an update.
Played in the South Florida Senior Open this past week over in Jupiter, Florida at the beautiful Jonathan's Landing West Golf Course, the metal course, which is a Fazio, really nice golf course, in great condition. And I managed, Chris, to take a third place finish and turn it into a 17th place finish.
Did you manage to do something like that? A little Tiger-esque?
So on day one, I'm standing on 16T even. And truthfully, at that point, that's as high as it could have been because I really played well, 1 through 16, had a couple opportunities, hit a couple really, really good putts that decided not to go in, but felt really good. Three holes to play. And none of the last three holes are, not that they were easy or hard, but they were all gettable. And I managed to go double bogey, par bogeyed and finished out a beautiful round of golf and shoot 75. So I was really happy about that coming off 18. And then on day two, I was standing on the ninth tee, even, and I managed to make a triple on nine and shoot 77 and just couldn't get anything to go in the back nine. Hit a lot of good shots coming in. And, you know, I guess like everybody else out there, we have two ways of looking at all these things. I got in the car and I had a three-hour car ride from Jupiter back to Naples. And I really kind of sat there for 3 hours to break it down. And really, truthfully, and this is going to sound crazy, but you know, Chris, I played solo competitive golf the last 10 years of my life. I'm just trying to get back into playing. So drove it well, hit a lot of quality iron shots, hit a lot of greens, and hit a lot of good putts that didn't go. So I took a lot more positive out of it than negative. And looking at the two bad numbers, they were really driven by making poor decisions more than making poor golf swings, trying to hit shots, hit the wrong shot at the wrong time. So a little bit of that was patience factor, trying to force things a little bit. So I think overall, even the fact that it was 17th, I would probably give myself for the overall performance a kind of a B to a B plus. And look forward to the next one. So I didn't feel bad about it, actually. So I think we're moving in the right direction.
Well, I love the way you framed it up there, because you could have gotten upset with yourself. You could have steamed your way all the way home. You could have really gone into the tank after having a couple of bad holes. But as we talk on this show all the time about the mental approach that we have, and to your point about decision making, you know, sometimes we make some poor ones. Sometimes you're trying to force an issue because you made the score that you made the first day. You're trying to press a little bit. But I love the fact that you're looking at it from a more positive perspective, that the majority of the golf played was good, and that's something to build on.
Yeah, and it is something. And then I've worked this week, and I've got back on a couple of things that I thought were loose out there, and had some good results in practice this week. And I think the next event I have is 18, 19, 20 of June, the South Florida Open, which does have a senior division too. So I think that's next up.
All right, so let's switch gears. Let's talk about the golf that we all watched this past weekend, the PGA Championship.
You didn't watch me?
if the option would have been there, I would have chosen you 10 times out of 10 over these other guys.
It was on CW right before the LIV tournament.
Was it? I must have. I missed that and the LIV tournament.
Yeah, there you go. You know. There you go.
Anyway, your thoughts on what you saw at the PGA?
I saw a golf course that seemed kind of defenseless based on conditions. I saw a lot of good golf. I saw a lot of really high-quality golf. I saw a lot of good shot making. I saw a guy that has been knocking on the door for a long time finally get his major, and so well-deserved. I mean, he's had some close calls, and he's played some really, really good golf in his career. And I don't know much about him, really. Like, I know some other guys out there, but you know, I've watched him from afar and really like the way he plays golf. And I thought he did a hell of a job coming down the stretch of keeping himself together when he got a couple of funny bounces and got the ball up and down, short game, and walked away with his first major. And exciting because, you know, the crazy man, DeChambeau, was chasing him down the street, you know. And when DeChambeau hit that shot that hit the trees and came back out in the fairway, I said, "Oh boy, those are the kind of things that happen when you win." Kind of like Freddie on the bank and on number 12 at Augusta. I thought that break from DeChambeau might have been, you know, telling a story, but luckily not, because I wasn't pulling for DeChambeau, and I'll be very public about that. And then Xander made a wonderful up and down on 17 and a wonderful up and down on 18 to clinch it. So pretty cool, I thought. It was pretty exciting.
So let's stay with the idea of Bryson. I mean, this is a guy that played exceedingly well, just like Xander did. But for years, he was a guy that a lot of people like you disliked. I mean, he had an image of being a whiner. He had the whole mad scientist thing and the mathematics and all the equations that he goes through to figure out what to hit. Then he bulked up and he called Augusta National a par 68 for him, though he never won there. And then obviously the defection over to LIV. But I don't know, Tom. He seems to have matured a bit here recently because he's a little more humble, a little more fan friendly. I love the video of him tossing the golf ball to the kid and then calling out the guy who reached over and, you know, caught it instead. Yeah. Got that over. I thought that was a great move. And then look, we consistently see this guy working late into the night out on the range. We saw it again on Saturday night after the third round. He's still out there at 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night hitting golf balls on the range. He seems to be doing all the things that we want a guy to go out there and be. I feel like he's becoming a little more likable, Tom.
I'm glad you like him, Chris.
You're still a no on that.
Chris, I'm glad you like him.
And I like the classy move there at the end when he was waiting, you know, out on the practice range, trying to stay warm in case there was a playoff, but he came down to the green to congratulate Xander. I think there's a lot of nice things that we're seeing from Bryson. I like him. I gotta admit, I like him.
I'm happy for you, Chris.
All right, moving on.
Chris, let me say one thing to you.
Yeah.
LIV.
I hear you.
I'm done.
You're done?
You go there. If you go there, we're done. Huh? You're not in the Tom Patrick camp anymore. You are dead. You're invisible. You're gone. Adios, muchacha.
You're so harsh. So harsh.
Well, listen. If you want to pull for a live guy, that's your prerogative. But not I.
All right. So let's go back to Xander for a minute. Obviously, that's his first major. We waited forever, it felt like, for Phil to get his first major. And kind of once he got over the hump, numbers 2, 3, 4 kind of came pretty, you know, rapidly in succession. Do you expect that Xander might get number 2 or 3 here over the remainder of this year? We've got 2 left this year. And then, you know, getting into, obviously, next year and all 4 that are going to be available. Do you think that maybe now numbers 2 and 3 come quickly for him?
Well, he's certainly played well at Augusta before, right? He's played well in multiple majors before. It wouldn't shock me. But, you know, Chris, listen, it's so hard. It's so hard to win on the PGA Tour, period. But it's so hard to win a major because there's only, as we know, 4 of them. Actually, there's 5 of them a year, but according to me, but 4 of them according to some other people. And the next 2 coming up, one is just a torture chamber in terms of the U.S. And the British is such a crapshoot with the, you know, you get a funny bounce here or you get a bad tee time with wind. There's so many things that have to go right at the Open Championship for you to be in the mix. Listen, he's playing well. He played well the week before the PGA. He played well at the PGA. Is he competitive? Has he got confidence right now? All of the above is true. But you know, it's so hard to win a major, let alone win 2 in the same season. Would I bet he's going to do it? No, I bet against him doing it. If you want to give me the field, I'll gladly give you him. Am I pulling for him? He's really likable. I like him a lot. I like the way he plays. Like I said, I don't know him personally at all, but I like the way he carries himself. I like the way he handles himself. It's certainly a guy I pull for. I don't see 2 majors to 1 guy in the same year right now.
How about Scotty getting arrested and then coming out of the holding cell and shooting 66 in the second round?
You mean Scotty the criminal?
The felony. The felon? It could be a felon. You never know.
What a debacle. I mean, first of all, and I'm sure you feel the same way, our hearts and prayers with the family of the gentleman that was killed that morning in a freak accident. What a tragedy. You know, I it's funny. Denise and I were talking about this a little bit. You know, when we worked the last Open at Shinnecock, we ran the range that week. The USGA did I think, and Shinnecock and Southampton Town at Shinnecock that year did a really smart thing. There was some parking across what is called Montauk Highway, which is a really busy thoroughfare right in front of Shinnecock. And there was some parking across the street on the other side of this thoroughfare. And instead of having policemen at the intersection there crossing people over, they built a walking bridge over Montauk Highway, a temporary walking bridge. So you kind of went up stairs, walked over the highway and back down on the other side. and there was no interaction with the traffic at all. And I thought the PGA of America, maybe Valhalla and the city of Louisville could have made that a better, could have made a better choice there of keeping people off the street. It seemed like there was a lot of comments on social media about how hard it was to walk through the woods, cross a road, go this way, go that way. A lot of confusion, a lot of signage that didn't exist, and a lot of confusion. And I wasn't there, so I don't know. I'm just going by what I read. But what a tragedy that was. And then behind the tragedy, here comes Scotty, you know, driving into a major, number one player in the world, and we end up in a jail cell. What a debacle. What a complete debacle. You know, I mean, I don't know how, I have a hard time figuring how in a marked courtesy car, I know it was 6 o'clock in the morning, I get it was still dark out, a marked courtesy car, that happens. I mean, and he said, he was asked, did you tell the officer who you were? And he said, no. Why would the answer to that question be no? Why wouldn't you say, excuse me, officer, you know, I'm Scotty Scheffler, I'm playing in the event, and I'm just trying to get in there for my tea time. For him to say nothing, it's kind of a weird scenario. And then the way the cop behaved is pretty weird too. So I got to believe this whole thing is going to go away, and it's going to be kind of swept under the table. I hope it is, because I think it's ridiculous. But I think that Scotty, it's almost comical. It's almost comical.
Yeah, I mean, I think my only reaction to all of that, kind of to your point a moment ago. To your point, Tom, if things aren't happening the way Scotty Scheffler wants them to happen, look, I've heard a lot of stories about what went on there. Obviously, nobody knows firsthand because they weren't there. But from what I understand, Scotty did what he was told to do by the first officer. And he got in the far left lane, and he was going to turn left to go into the main entrance to Valhalla. But the second officer may or may not have heard or known what was going on, and that's when the craziness started to happen. But prior to all of that, to your point, if you're trying to get into the main entrance and you can't, or it's taking too long, get out of the car, go up to the nearest officer, say, hello, officer, Scotty Scheffler here. I'm trying to get over there. Can you help me out? And let the officer handle it from there. I don't know. This seems like something that could have been avoided. But again, I wasn't there. I don't know. And I'm hearing a lot of these things second or third hand. But there seems like there was an opportunity to make this better and to have avoided everything that went wrong for Scotty in that situation.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know Scotty Scheffler at all. I've never even been around him or been in his company. And he seems like an awful nice young man. But he also seems like a little bit of a goober to me, you know, I mean, what'd you say? What'd you just say?
Like, really? Is he now?
Well, I mean, you know, you're an adult, you're a tour player, you travel every single week of your life, and you're pulling into a major, you can see, you don't know what's going on, but you know, there's some chaos. And you know, you travel all over the world. Like you said, Chris, you stop the car, you put it in park, you open the door. Officer, I'd like to introduce myself. I'm the best player in the fucking world right now. and I'm playing in a major. Can you help me get in there? Because it seems like something's happened here. Oh, really? There's been a tragedy. That's terrible. Can you help me get in there so I can go, you know, start my warm up?
Right.
Is that hard? Is that hard to do? But no, he doesn't do that. He not only doesn't do that, but he doesn't follow directions and he drags some guy 50 feet. I mean, and now listen, I'm sure there's two sides to the story.
Yep.
And I'm sure the cop was a little bit of a, sounds like a little bit of a horse's ass too. But yeah. But you know, all this could have been prevented. Just get out of the car. Introduce yourself, shake your hands, give him a Titleist, a signed Titleist, give him a kiss, and say, can you help me get in here? Game, set, match.
Right.
You know, it's insane.
Switching gears a little bit. Last time that you were on the show, we were talking about Victor Hovland, and you were giving him advice about the number of teachers that he's had, and why did you change the swing, and imploring him to go back and do things differently. And it appears like he heard you. And millions of people listen to you every other week when you're on the show, and certainly heed your advice, and he did that. And went out and played exceedingly well. Shot 68, 66, 66, 66. He rockets up the leaderboard on Sunday to put a little heat on Xander, ended up finishing third. But it's encouraging to see that he went back to his original teacher. He made whatever adjustments back to where he was before. It's encouraging to see that he played so well. Maybe we're going to get the Victor Hovland we saw last year at the Tour Championship and at the end of the season now reemerge going forward. What are your thoughts about what you saw from him?
Well, obviously he played an incredible tournament. I mean, he played really, really well. He kind of got a little mud on his eye in the last hole, three putting for bogey. The second shot he hit on 18 was a little questionable. It came out really funny and really well short of the green, where I thought he was in a position where he could get at least in the greenside bunker or alongside the green left where Xander was. Maybe get up and down, and then get a mediocre wedge and then three putted. But obviously played great to get even into that position. The journey he's been on this year has been bizarre at best, going through multiple teachers, walking away from a teacher who had him right on the brink at the end of last season of being the best player in the world. And that's no slight on Scottie Scheffler, but at the end of last year, Hovland was right there. I mean, literally right there as the best player in the world. And then decides to go on this bizarre journey through multiple different teachers and multiple different methodologies. And he vanishes from the face of the earth. I mean, just can't even, get out of his own way, and circles all the way back to his original teacher, and then reemerges in a major and finishes in the top three. Then, you have to check me on this, Chris, then heard today that he withdrew from the next event. Well, coming out of a third place finish in a major, you're playing pretty well. You kind of got the ball rolling. Wouldn't you ride the hot streak out for a couple of weeks? So now he does another kind of bizarre thing and withdraws from the next event. And we usually don't see guys do that. We usually see them, ride that hot streak when they got something going. So I'm not sure I understand Victor Hovland. Do I think Victor Hovland's? I think he's an unbelievable player. I'm glad he's playing well again. I think there's a great place in golf for Victor Hovland, and we need some star power right now. But do I understand Victor Hovland? No, I don't even. He would have been a great guest host on My Favorite Martian. I don't get him. I don't get him at all. I don't get him.
Yeah.
And if you do, please explain it to me.
No. Yeah, no. I'm with you. I don't understand it either.
Okay.
Hey, I want to get your thoughts on Tiger, because he continues to tell us that he can still win on the PGA Tour and he can still win a major. He said it at every press conference that he has. At the Masters, he made the cut, but we all saw him shoot 82-77 on the weekend. Didn't make the cut this past week at the PGA after shooting 72-77, including a stretch of three holes that went triple bogey and triple. Tommy, starting to remind me a little bit of the age boxer who stuck around a little too long. Not even Tiger Woods can go play in his backyard or his local club down there in Florida and then show up once a month at a major and expect it that he can actually win or even be competitive with these guys. The PGA Tour is something I feel like you're either focused on and dedicated to, or you're not if you want to win. But what's your assessment from what you've seen in the last month or so from Tiger?
Part one, I agree with you 100%. Part two, I've always tried to avoid recently doubting Tiger Woods, because every time I've doubted him in my career and put the kibosh on him, he came back and splashed mud all over my face and made me look like an idiot, which we both know that I am an idiot, but that's besides the point. I think he's done. I think this is finally it. I think that, he when was the last time he shot two rounds back-to-back under par? 71-71. Just anything. Showed us any sign of life at all. I've not seen any sign of life. The scores are... kind of like my scores. And that's not good. I mean, listen, I have a tremendous amount of respect for his career and what he did and what he brought to golf. And in my opinion, and this is no insult to Jack Nicklaus, I think he's the greatest player that's ever walked on this planet. And I don't think there's anybody who's even a close second, including Jack Nicklaus. I think he was that dominant a player, and he separated himself from the deepest fields we've ever seen in competitive golf for a long period of time. And every week we watched, he did something else that was absolutely amazing. I mean, absolutely, jaw-dropping stuff. And entertained us for a decade or more, hitting golf shots that we never dreamed any human being could hit. So in my book, he's the greatest player who's walked on the planet. But guess what? It's over. His body is broken. Okay. To your point, you can't play the PGA Tour part-time and be competitive. You have to be game sharp and mind sharp every single second of the day that you walk onto a golf course out there. And he doesn't have enough reps. He can't physically have enough reps under his belt to get to that position. So you're right. He's the boxer that's staying around a little bit too long. And it's really, now it's starting to get a little bit hard to watch. Considering how much we respected his game and his play, it's not fun to watch that boxer get pummeled. You know, it's just not a pretty thing. And I think that's what we're watching right now.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I agree with you. And that's no slight to Tiger, because we do all respect what he did for the game. He is arguably the second or third greatest golfer of all time, not even close to first. But
he's a far distant second
and maybe even third, but still a great player.
Excuse me?
Yeah. And
who's first and second?
Well, Nicklaus is first, and the numbers aren't even close. And Bobby Jones might have a word about being second best.
You clearly are missing a few facts, but that's okay. We're going to let you go on that because, you know, we know you don't do this for a living full time. So we're going to give you a little pass.
Indeed. All right. So one more before I let you go. We've learned in the last week or so that two more people have resigned from the PGA Tour policy board.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Jimmy Dunn resigned, saying his position was superfluous now that the players outnumber the independent members on the board and they're not making any meaningful progress on the merger with the PIF. And then on Sunday, Mark Flaherty, another independent member of the board and a former vice chairman of Wellington Management and Investment Company, he resigned effective immediately Sunday. And I've yet to see a reason why he resigned. He just did. But these don't feel like good things for the PGA Tour to have two members of the independent side of that board decide, you know what, I'm done. And I'm not even giving you any notice. I'm done right now. Your thoughts on both of those guys walking away?
I'm going to paraphrase you a little because I don't remember the exact quote, but did you see Lucas Glover's quotes?
Yes, I did, as a matter of fact.
So Lucas Glover said, you know, they don't tell us how to hit seven irons. We shouldn't tell them how to run businesses because they're icons of business. And for us to sit in a room to make incredibly difficult and very, very, very important business decisions and think that we're smarter than them when they've run multi-billion-dollar companies successfully for years and years and years shows how damn stupid we are. We don't know for sure, but all the indicators are that Patrick Cantlay is the smartest guy in the whole room. I think push him out is the wrong thing. I know Jimmy. Jimmy and I grew up playing junior golf together. I know Jimmy pretty well. He doesn't really, you know, like nonsense at all. He's a pretty serious guy, and I think he just looked across the table and said, you know what, boys, if you think you're that damn smart and you can figure this out on your own, you can negotiate with those people who are cutthroat business people, you guys have at it. Good luck to you. And I think that 10 or 15 years now we're going to look back at this period of time and what's going to happen to the PGA Tour and who's going to control it. I think the handwriting's on the wall. I hope to God that you and I are both wrong, because I know we share a lot of the same opinions, Chris, but it doesn't look good. And those guys in that room who think they're very smart, we're going to find out just how smart they really are pretty soon here.
Yeah. Well, I certainly agree with that. And not having at least, and I don't know anything about Mark Flaherty outside of the fact that he's a former vice chairman of Wellington Management, but Jimmy Dunn, it seems like, is one of the smartest businessmen we have in the country. And the thought that he has thrown up his hands and is like, you know what, I'm out. That doesn't feel like that's a win for the PGA Tour in the future of what's, whether it's a merger with PIF or going on without them. From a business perspective and cutting deals and knowing how to promote the tour and all of those sorts of things, it seems like you'd want Jimmy Dunn in the room. And the fact that he's not now seems like a huge loss to the tour.
So, you know, I guess that we grew up playing junior golf together. I've known Jimmy since I was... Well, I'm trying to think, 13 years old. I'm 65. And I've watched close up and I've watched from afar. I know who he is. I know what's in his heart. I know what kind of person he is. I know what kind of savvy he has. You know what, boys? Shame on you. You just made a big, big mistake.
Yep.
And it's going to change. I think it's going to change the course of golf history. That person walking out of that room, because he had enough of that nonsense in that room, is going to change golf history.
Yeah, I just don't feel like anything good is going to happen from here. I really, really am starting to question what the PGA Tour, Jay Monahan, that group of guys, what they're doing. They may be really, really good golf players. To Webb Simpson's comments, those guys are really good at playing the game of golf. I'm not sure how great they are at closing business deals or making business deals. So
I'm going to say it again. It's going to change golf history. And I don't mean that in a good way at all.
Tom, before I let you go, remind our listeners how they can stay up to date with you and subscribe to your YouTube channel, because there's a whole lot of goodness on that YouTube channel for all of us.
We're going to skip talking about Tom and talk about Chris Mascaro and the awards this show has won, the people he's put on these airwaves, the guests he's had, the homework he does, the love he brings to the game, and the platform he provides for all of us. Thank you, Chris Mascaro. I'm going to sleepy night time now with Denise and Nobby, the wonder dog. And I hope you have a wonderful evening and that your guests appreciate you as much as I do.
Well, I appreciate you very much for that and everything you've meant to me in this show. You're the best, my friend. All the best to you and the family. We'll catch up in a couple weeks.
Peace, brother.
See you, Tom. That is the great Tom Patry. At Tom Patry Golf is where you can find him on Instagram. TomPatry.com is his website. And like I say, you got to go out there and subscribe to that YouTube channel. Over 300 free lessons are waiting for you there. So go out there and check it out. And like I say, subscribe and hit the bell to get all of the updates that he does. He is just the absolute best as an instructor and as a friend. Can't wait to catch up with him again in a couple of weeks. Okay, coming up next is going to be a guy who is quickly becoming one of my favorites because he's just a really great guy, on top of being a fantastic player, and that is Clark Dennis. Before I get to Clark, I was talking with Eddie Dry, VP of Domestic Sales for Strixon Cleveland Golf, at the PGA Merchandise Show earlier this year, and I said, Eddie, I like your CBX full-face wedges. How can they help an average player like me play better? Here's what he had to say.
An average player, I use one, and I'm in some lies that you can't even believe. And I need all the help I can get. And the face is bigger, and the grooves go all the way up and all the way out to the toe. So if you hit it on the toe, you miss it, bam, there's a groove. So I like that. So I carry a 58.
There you have it, folks. Try the new CBX full-face wedges from Cleveland Golf. I also want to give a shout out to my friends over at On Point Golf and their great On Point ball marker. Get the number one ball marker in the game of golf. On Point is the only three-dimensional ball marker out there with alignment technology and a removable coin that is approved to use according to the rules of golf. As you know, putting is all about line and pace. Mark your ball with OnPoint, engage with your three-dimensional ball marker, and have more confidence in your line, execute the putt, and you're going to lower your scores. Do what the likes of Jim Furyk, PGA professionals, and amateurs alike are doing now. They use the number one ball marker in golf and they lower their scores. You know Ken Duke and Thongchai JD. They won for the first time on the PGA Tour in 2023 and they were using an OnPoint ball marker. Get yours at onpointgolf.us and make more putts. And oh, by the way, you can also customize the removable coin for any club, event, or corporate outing. They make really great tee gifts and custom products. That's also going to help lower your score. I use OnPoint ball markers. Mine is black and gold, 3D black golf ball with a gold line down the middle to help me line up my putts. It's like having a 15th club in my bag. It's helped my game. Why wouldn't you let it help yours? Again, onpointgolf.us. See what I'm talking about. Order yours today. Now let's talk grips. I want to tell you about Lamkin grips. Every shot, as you know, has its own unique feel. The trick? Feel comfortable with each one. And comfort is built into the very DNA of Sonar Plus Black Grips. Composed of their Genesis material that provides supreme comfort and durability, with their fingerprint technology, creates a strong connection and unforgettable touch. The game changes from shot to shot. The feel on your hand shouldn't. Lamkin. Feel is everything. Now back and next on the tee with me is Clark Dennis. Clark just played out on the Korn Ferry Tour, the PGA Tour, Champions Tour, and now the Senior European Tour. He's from Houston, Texas. He was the 1983 Texas State Junior Champion. Played his college golf first at the University of Arkansas and then at SMU. He turned pro in 1986. In 1988, he won the Nevada State Open Championship. He has 8 professional wins to his credit, including winning the 1993 Bakersfield Open on the Korn Ferry Tour. And 5 wins over on the European Senior Tour, including winning the Senior Italian Open back-to-back years in 2017 and 18, and also the 2017 Dutch Masters. And he won the John Jacobs Trophy for winning the European Senior Tour Order of Merit. In addition to winning that 88 Nevada State Open, he won the 1992 Texas State Open. He finished tied for 6th in 1994 at the U.S. Open at Oakmont. I got to meet and spend some time with Clark when he was here a few weeks ago for the Mitsubishi Electric Classic at TPC Sugarloaf, and he is a fantastic guy on top of being a fantastic player, and I couldn't be more thrilled he is back with me again this week here on Next on the Tee. Hey, Clark, thanks for coming back on the show.
Thanks, Chris. It's good to be here.
So, Clark, the last time you joined me was last fall, and at that time, your Texas Rangers were in the postseason. Shortly thereafter, they go on and win the World Series. So I got to ask you, what was it like for you when that final out was recorded in Game 5?
You know, as a longtime, long-suffering Rangers fan, I know you said I was from Houston. I was born in Houston, but we moved to Fort Worth when I was 10, and I used to go to the Rangers. I didn't become a baseball fan until we moved up to Fort Worth, and I went to the old Ranger Stadium, which was a horrendous stadium, you know, terrible seats, and that's where I first saw professional baseball, and I was just hooked, and that was a great experience last year. I was in Spain, playing in Spain on the Legends Tour. My son, Will, who normally caddies on the PGA Tour, was caddying for me that week because they were off for a few weeks, and so we were in our hotel there in La Manga, Spain, watching the Rangers at 5 o'clock in the morning when I had to play the next day, but I didn't care because it was, you know, as a baseball fan, that's just, I never thought I would see it as a Rangers fan. And it was an amazing experience to see them win the World Series. I was halfway around the world, but it brought me great joy to see that. It really did.
I bet it did. They've gotten off to a little bit of a slow start so far this season, but fortunately the AL West is all struggling a little bit. Do you think they can turn it on and make another deep run into October this year?
I think so. We've got some, we've had terrible injury bug going around. We've got some pitchers that are coming back in the middle of the year. Scherzer will be back soon. John Gray has pitched unbelievably well. It hasn't got much run support. So I think, you know, it's such a high power offense. I cannot see it staying that, you know, Young is really kind of a catalyst for that offense, and he's been hurt. So I think once he comes back to full strength and the offense gets to clicking, I see them making a really strong run in the second half when their pitching steps. So their pitching has actually not been so bad this year. I mean, that was kind of, they were saying, if we can just hold on till the middle of the season, we get some pitching, you know, some guys that are injured back. But that's really hadn't been their problem. Their offense has been slow to heat up. So I think it will, and I think they're going to win the West, and anything can happen in the playoffs.
All right, let's talk a little golf because we're on the heels of the PGA Championship at Valhalla. Tell me about what you saw this past weekend. What'd you think?
Well, you know, Valhalla has taken a lot of heat for having low scoring. But if you look back at the history of Valhalla, you know, you got Tiger and Bob May, you've got the Ryder Cup there. Every event there has had great drama. And I think that's the hallmark of a great golf course. It doesn't have to be even par winning event to be a great event. And outside the unfortunate incident on Friday, I think it was a great event. I think, you know, Schauffele winning his first major, I mean, he looked fantastic. I think he's going to be a great player for a long time. I think it was a great event.
Let's take that idea a step further, Clark, because the course was very gettable. I've never seen as many guys draining 40, 50, and 60 footers all weekend long as I saw this past week at Valhalla. And obviously the final score, a 21 under par by Xander, and Bryson DeChambeau at 20 under par right behind him. Talk about that. And are you okay seeing a major championship with a final score that far under par?
I think it's entertaining. I'm actually okay with that. Look, a lot of times you can't dictate what the weather does, right? And it rained, it was soft. I mean, these guys hit it so far that, you know, they're going to be hitting short irons into even 500-yard par fours. So if the greens are soft, they're going to eat it up. I mean, that's just how it is. But I don't think that's a terrible thing. You know, do we want to? I mean, I think at Pinehurst, we're going to see even 1, 2, 3, 4 under win, you know, depending on the conditions. That's also good. I don't think we have to have that every week or every major. You're going to have some, you know, if you go over and play the Open Championship and you have great week at St. Andrews, they're going to eat that course up. So Right. Does that mean St. Andrews isn't a great course? Of course not. St. Andrews is a fantastic golf course. And if you shoot 18 under there and it's been a great week of weather, you know, good for you. You've played great golf. So I think Valhalla has gotten some bad press that it doesn't really deserve.
This week, the PGA Tour moves on to Colonial, a place you played well at throughout the 90s. You shot 64 in the opening round in 95 to share the first round lead with Lenny Clements. You finished tied for 14th in 98 when you opened with three straight rounds of 68, tied for 23rd in 91. What are some of your favorite memories from playing the Colonial?
Well, you know, I grew up at Colonial. I was a junior club champion there. So my dad joined Colonial when I was 14. So it was always a special week for me to be able to play there. Hometown crowds. The year that Tom Watson won, I was, I think, tied for the lead going into the backside. You know, it's a great golf course. I have not seen it since the Hans redo. My son is caddying this week for Sam Stevens, and talked to him today about it. And he said, it looks really nice. There's, you know, subtle differences. There's a couple holes that I think they're probably going to have to tweak going forward. But, you know, Colonial is just such an iconic place, and it's a special tournament. It's so different from Dallas. Dallas has its own unique identity. Colonial is pure golf, and people love it there. The crowds are great. Obviously, I'm a Fort Worth guy, so I love it. I live a mile and a half from the course. So I hate that I'm not there this week because I'm playing the senior PGA this week. But I think they're going to have a great week this week.
Having grown up there, did you ever get an opportunity to spend some time with Mr. Hogan?
I have met Mr. Hogan. He was very quiet, and of course, he spent his days at Shady Oaks when I was a youngster. And I would go over to Shady Oaks, and you'd see him sitting over in the corner. And one time, I was able to go up and speak to him, and said, "Mr. Hogan, it's an honor to meet you." And you know, he's just very quiet. He didn't speak much. He had his people that he talked to, and he would go hit balls on the little nine out there at Shady Oaks. And you couldn't, if you got too close to him, he would stop hitting balls. So he was a very reclusive, but by all accounts, a very nice man. Just liked to be on his own.
Clark, speaking of playing well, you played really well at the Invited Celebrity Classic a few weeks ago, ended up finishing tied for sixth after an opening round 65, and then came here to the Mitsubishi Electric Classic. How do you feel about how your season has gone so far?
You know, our season really hasn't started on the Legends Tour in Europe, so I did a couple of Monday qualifiers. I missed them. I happened to make it in Dallas. I played very well in Dallas. I got in Atlanta. You know, they gave me a spot in Insperity, so I played 3 weeks in a row. My game is in really good shape, surprisingly, because I didn't play much January, February, March, and I'm actually playing very well. I'm looking forward to this week in Benton Harbor at Harbor Shores. We're playing here at the Senior PGA. And yeah, I think my game is in really good shape. If I continue to play well, I'll play well over here. If not, I go to Greece in June. We play in Greece, and then we play in England and Ireland. And so I've got great options. I mean, I'm looking forward to playing the rest of the year.
Speaking of being up there at Harbor Shores and playing in Michigan, Michigan is a state that I think is very underrated for golf. Have you played golf outside of Harbor Shores? Have you played in and around the state of Michigan? Because I hear it's fantastic.
I have played. Now, I haven't played up in Upper Michigan. I've heard there's some absolute fantastic golf up there. They had the U.S. Senior Open qualifier on Monday here at Point of Woods, which I heard is they've had the Western Amateur there for many years. And you know, there's great golf up here. Lots of great golf courses around.
Clark, you're such a fantastic player. When we were talking a little bit at the Mitsubishi Electric Classic, I think people don't know or appreciate how hard it is to get out there and play weekly events out on the Champions Tour. It's not like you went out and you played on the PGA Tour for years, then you turned 50 and boom, automatically you get to be out there playing every week on the Champions Tour. Talk about how hard it is to gain a spot in one of those events.
Well, there's in a typical field, not the majors, there's 78 players every week. Most of them are career money guys or guys that have won multiple times, maybe multiple. There's a limited field. And so you've got great players every week, major winners every week that are Monday qualifying. So, you know, it's a tough gig. It really is. You know, you've either got there's only three spots on the Monday qualifier. They chop that down from four to three. And so you have to play well when you have your chances. It's a very close shot.
Speaking of the European Legends Tour, that season is in full swing. We've mentioned your back-to-back senior Italian Open victories, your Dutch Masters victory, but that's a tour that doesn't get enough publicity. Great players, great venues. Talk about the European Legends Tour.
Yeah, I think it's unfortunate that we don't get as much press because it's the second best senior golf in the world. We've got the Legends Tour is basically the Champions Tour for the European Tour. So on any given week, we'll have 15 to 17 former Ryder Cuppers. We'll have major champions like Michael Campbell, Paul McGinley plays, Thomas Bjorn plays. You know, we've got unbelievable players that play that tour because, say, Sean McKeel has started to play some because he won the PGA, but he's not exempt on the Champions Tour. So we've got great players. Michael Campbell, U.S. Open champion, beat Tiger at Pinehurst. So we've got great players with nowhere to play, so they play the Legends Tour. Unbelievable competition. We've got, you know, Joachim Hegeman, Michael Johnson. We've got all these great players that play the you know, Ian Woosnam still plays. We've got these guys that have played the European Tour for years and years but have no access to the Champions Tour. So we play on the Legends Tour.
Yeah, it sure would be nice to be able to watch some of those events, whether it was on the Golf Channel or just someplace, because to your point, there are so many great players that are over there that we miss seeing. Guys like you, as you mentioned, Ian Woosnam. We don't get to see Woozy all that much playing over here. It would sure be nice to see you and those players playing. I just don't understand why it doesn't get the love that I think it deserves.
Well, in today's world, and you're great at it, you know, with YouTube and all that stuff, I don't understand why we don't have more exposure. But, you know, it's the Golf Channel has their favorites. I think it would be a great thing for the Golf Channel to pick up, but it costs money. It's, you know, it's a subsidiary of the European Tour. The European Tour doesn't put much money into it. So we're just kind of where we are. You know, we play our tournaments. There's a 1-hour highlight show on Sky Sports, and the you know, the British Singer Open is televised. And other than that, you know, nobody really knows that we're playing. But like I say, there's some fantastic players.
Yeah, agreed. As I've mentioned a couple of times, your wins at the Italian Open. It's played a little bit later on this year, late October. This year it's going to be held at Santa Domenico Golf Club near Sicily. Talk about that golf course and going back to play there again.
Yeah, so this will be our third time at San Domenico. San Domenico is down in Puglia, which is kind of in the heel of Italy. Beautiful, beautiful place. Probably it's called the Borgo Ignazia is the hotel on the golf course. Probably the finest hotel I have ever been to. I mean, it is utterly amazing. The food, as you would expect in Italy, is incredible. The golf course is nice, right on the ocean. We play some absolutely stunning places on the European Tour, and we go all over the place. So it really is unfortunate that it isn't shown more, because I think not only the golf, but I think the venues that we go to, I think people would love to see it. We're playing in Vietnam later in the year. We're playing at Punta Mita in Mexico. You know, the venues are fantastic. So it is unfortunate that we're kind of playing behind a wall. Nobody sees it, but I'm having a great time doing it.
Yeah, let's take that a step further, because to your point, I mean, we're used to seeing the golf courses that we see every week, every year here on the PGA Tour. There's some different ones when we start to watch the Champions Tour a little bit, like you know, some of these Michigan courses that we don't get to see all the time. But to your point, the venues that you guys play are some of the most scenic golf courses on the planet. I think it would be great to be able to see the core of great players that you've talked about on some of these courses that we would just be in awe over because of the venues and the vistas and the views that you get to see that that these courses are, these tournaments are played on.
I think so. We're playing the European PGA at Trump Aberdeen, which is one of the most stunning courses you've ever seen visually in your life. And, you know, I don't know if it's ever going to happen, but we need to get somebody like yourself, somebody pushing that so we can actually get some more exposure.
Yeah. And that's a good point. I think that's something I need to step up on as well.
And by the way, we play a lot of our events, our alliance events, where the amateurs play in the event with us, like Pebble Beach. It's a great experience for people to come. You play in the tournament on the first 2 days. You get to see, you get to be inside the ropes with the players, get to see how we do it, and then we play on our own the last day. I think it's one of the best experiences in golf, to be honest. I've had several friends from the U.S. come over and play, and they just love it. So,
yeah, sounds fantastic. Yeah, it definitely needs more pub, and I need to do a better job of getting that out there. So thanks for that. We got to get people understanding what the Legends Tour is, and the beautiful places you go and the great players that are still out there. So I would definitely be doing more of that. Clark, I want to get at one little playing lesson from you before I let you go, because amateurs like me, we all tend to get first tee jitters, especially if we're going to play in our club championship, or if we're playing in a city tournament for the first time, or even if we're just getting out with our buddies. A lot of times, you know, when there are a bunch of people around, all of a sudden we start to get those first tee butterflies. And for someone like you, does that still happen? How do you deal with that first tee jitter so that we can go out and make a good swing when it's the opening hole?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think everybody still gets first. If you're not getting any jitters when you're teeing off in a tournament, you probably should stop playing, because then it doesn't really mean anything to you. The reason you get nervous is because it means something. And whether I'm playing in the senior PGA this week in a senior major, or you're playing in your club championship, it means something to you. So the best thing you can do is just be prepared and make sure to breathe. Make sure, you know, because I think a lot of times, and I'm guilty of this myself, when you get really nervous, you breathe real shallow, you stop breathing, and your body doesn't respond very well. So as long as you take good deep breaths before you tee off, usually takes for me one or two holes, and I'm kind of back to normal. I'm in my routine. But if you just take some big, deep breaths before you play and just realize, hey, I've practiced the last week before, or I've practiced to get ready for this, I'm ready for this, I've done everything I can do, you're going to do your best.
Clark, before I let you go, remind our listeners, how can we stay up to date with all the great things you're doing and the great places you're playing, whether we're doing it online or we're doing it on social media?
Well, you can follow me on Twitter or Instagram at cdennisgolf. And you can follow the Legends Tour at EU Legends Tour. And you can also go to the European Tour website and hit the Legends Tour tab and follow us that way. And you know, we've got some great stories on there, some players that you've never heard of, and also some players that are major winners and Ryder Cuppers. So it kind of runs the gamut.
Mark, I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your busy schedule to come back and be a part of this show. You've become one of my absolute favorites, not only from the first time you were on the show, then being generous with your time when I got to see you at the TPC Sugarloaf, and then to come back tonight. I think you're doing some great things. I think I do, and we as a golf community need to do a better job of pubbing the Legends Tour and the great players you have out there and the great places you go to play. I hope you'll come back and share more of your stories, maybe a little bit later on this year, about how it's going over there when you're playing, and update us on all the great things that you've been up to.
Absolutely. And hey, watch those Dallas Mavericks in the Western Conference Final. I think it's Luka's year.
Is that right?
Yep.
All right. Well, I'm a Celtics fan, so I hope not. But for you, if they're going to lose to somebody, then I hope it's to your boys.
All right. It was nice talking to you.
You too. Take care, Clark.
All right. Bye-bye.
That is Clark Dennis, folks. C. Dennis Golf is how you can find him on social media. And again, legendstour.com is where you can find it online. And then, like he said, EU Legends Tour is where that is on social media as well. Clark's just a wonderful human being. I mean, he is just so genuine and a great player on top of that. I don't think enough people know what a great player that Clark Dennis is. Again, a guy that finished tied for sixth in the 1994 U.S. Open at Oakmont. He's won, you know, 8 professional tournaments around the world. He's you know, again, a guy that won the Order of Merit on the European Senior Tour, a guy that won back-to-back Italian Opens, won the Dutch Masters. So look, there are a lot of great players playing in this tour, so I got to do a better job, and I hope you'll go out and check it out. Go out there just online and see who some of these players are and take a look at what courses they're out there playing on. I'm telling you, you're going to be unbelievably amazed about how beautiful these golf courses are that they're playing in other parts of the world. I think that's one of the great things about the DP World Tour and this tour is you get a flavor for it. It's not all just Irish and English and Scottish golf courses. They're playing in all kinds of different places. You heard them talk about some of the other places around the world that they're going to play. So when they're all across, whether it's Europe or Asia or Australia and some of the other places that they get to go and play, these golf courses are absolutely stunning. And then again, the core of golfers that are out there playing that we are all familiar with, and you went, whatever happened to so? They're out there playing on the European Tour. Go out there and check those guys out. See how they have been playing. See what those guys are up to. That's another thing I need to do is get more of these, you know, guys that are playing on the Legends Tour to come be a part of this show and tell their stories as well. But Clark is, like I say, just a wonderful human being and a great player. And I really look forward to having him back on the show and hearing how his season goes over there as well. All right, my friends, it is time for me to put a bow on part one of this week's show. My sincere thanks to Tom Patry and Clark Dennis for joining me. Coming up in part two, please come back for that one. It'll drop in a couple of days. I'll be joined then by one of the all-time great ball strikers and a fantastic friend of this show, Tim Simpson. I'll also get a visit from former sergeant in the 82nd Airborne Division of the U.S. Army, a guy who is now an assistant high school golf coach. Fantastic stories about his time in the Army, being deployed over in Iraq, and the things that he went through and how the game of golf actually saved his life. And that is Tim Gastel. You're going to hear fantastic stories and insights from both Tim. So I hope you'll come back and be a part of part two when, like I say, that drops in here in just a couple of days. Until then, my friends, hit them straight.
Well, I guess you're At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.